Jesus live in your heart this morning?
Amen.
I pray that he does, and I pray that if he doesn't, before the service is over, you've invited Jesus into your heart and life to give you eternal life. It's good to be in God's house today, back to our normal schedule. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will just bless you in every way. Whatever your spiritual needs, your financial needs, physical needs, emotional needs, I pray that the Holy Spirit will bless you in a special, special way. May we pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, name that's above every name, and we honor him. We honor you, Father. Oh, we honor you for the great love wherewith you've given us through your Son, Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you're here in this service. We thank you that your presence, the presence of Almighty God, is here. And so, Father, just out of your generous mercy, your grace, pour out upon us all that we need. But Lord, we just don't want to come to you with our needs. We want to come to you and worship you, to honor you, to praise you. We want you to know that we appreciate you. We bow before you, knowing that there's none other like you. There's none other but you. Lord, come and dwell in the praises of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. And good morning, everyone. Everyone doing well? I say good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. You with me now. I like that. So it's good to be. As we do every Sunday morning, we're going to take a hymn of the church, and we're going to sing it. This Sunday is a happy song. It talks about singing. He keeps me singing. We're going to do three verses of that as we stand, please.
Situation that we were in for the matter of
Thank you. You may be seated. Let's all stand and sing the doxology, please.
Praise God from
it is good to see you all this morning. Good-looking crowd this morning. And everybody's here and ready to worship this morning. I can see it on your faces. It's good to be. I'm going to share a few announcements with you at this time, and then we'll also go to our prayer time this morning. In the way of announcements, we do have a quarterly conference that is scheduled today at the end of the service today. So you all who have parts of that, be ready for the quarterly conference, if you would, please. And let's always keep that in mind as we go forward, the business of the church. And it's actually God's church, and we conduct it that way. All right, so also the Annie Armstrong Easter offering is going to be continuing on now as we go forward into March and April. Of course, I guess April is about to wrap up, isn't it?
Today's
the last day, isn't it? This month has just gone away. So quickly, here we are at April 27th. That's right. So today's the dice day. Thank you, Brenda. Also, the Children Home Food Drive. Now, if you was going to bring food, today's the last day. You can think you can bring the food for the right today. Isn't it today?
I think Tom said next Sunday.
Is it next Sunday?
Yeah, I think that's
okay. Well, okay. You got another day.
Today's the last day for food.
The food.
Okay, all right.
I'm confused on that, too. I'm sorry. It's in writing. You got it down.
Yep.
Okay. Food and paper products by April the 27th. You got it there. Money and gift cards will be May the 11th. Okay. Okay, good. Kathy's got it down. All I got to do is read it, right, Kathy?
You're fine.
So, that's all right. All right. Are there any other announcements that I may be overlooking? I think youth is going to be meeting tonight.
Right? We will meet tonight, but we're going to cancel for next Sunday.
Okay. All right. All right, and then tonight also then we will have the time of prayer and also the discipleship training, right? Okay, all right. Other announcements? Yes.
I posted a volunteer sign-up sheet for Bible School on the bulletin board.
Okay. All right. Those of you that will help us in Bible School, please go by and sign up. And we'd love to have all the help. I know you would. Have all the help we could get. So please go by and sign up for Bible School. It'll be here before we know it. It's kind of like the month of April. It's gone, and I don't know where it went, but it did. And so let's keep that in mind. Any other announcements?
Yeah.
Okay, did you hear that? all of the graduate. We will have to know if there's anyone going to be graduating, and we need to recognize those as we always do every year. So let Miss Kathy know if you know someone or you have someone that'll be graduating. Okay? All right. No other announcements. We'll go to prayer time. I've had several people that we want to mention today. We'll mention Brother Jim, Pastor Jim, as he's still got some more tests and got some tests waiting and some surgery possibly also. Right, Jim?
Yes.
And so we need to keep him in your prayers. Let's keep Brother Kenny in our prayers as well. Kenny has some more tests and more things involved. And yes, Kenny? So Kenny's going to have surgery, yes, okay. And we'll be praying for you, Brother Kenny. All righty. Just remember Doug Burgess. We've asked you to remember Doug. Doug's broke some bones again, and so he's going to have surgery to do that. McCord, how are you doing, son?
Well, I just want to thank everyone for the prayers. I'm doing fine. The surgery went really well. That was my fifth, was kind of what to expect, but it was smooth as fifth. I take a cold. That's been the worst thing this week.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're doing well. I've just got to ask you this question. Am I looking any better to you now?
Well, I can't see you yet, so I'll let you know when I get better.
Praise the Lord, McCord. I'm glad you're doing well. I really am. It takes time. I know it's going to take time. All right. Are there others? Yes. Oh, okay.
It's slow process, but he's
good. Yes, we will, Janice. Yes?
Got it. Just work with Jeff, Mike Morgan.
Mike Morgan? Okay.
My brother-in-law, Buddy Lee, he's on the, I just put him on the oxygen.
Buddy Lee?
24/7.
Buddy Lee, did you say Lee?
Buddy Lee.
Okay. Tamara, Lionel gave me the name of a young person, and I wrote it down somewhere that we need to pray for. And God knows I'm full of faults, and I cannot find that note. And he gave it to me, and I told him we'd be praying. So we're going to lift her up one way or the other. But do you know who that might be? Okay. Well, we'll just use it as unspoken this morning. And it's my fault. I wrote it down, and I simply, but I don't want to, I just don't. Well, I don't want to remember it, regardless. God knows. Okay? Yes.
He had 3 spots on the lung, and they are gone. That he's got a spot on the lung. They're going to do an MRI tomorrow or a CAT scan.
Okay.
They'll know Tuesday if that place.
All right. Okay. Harry Stockner. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Who's your big guy
out here? Jeff. Yeah, that's right. You told me about that, Jeff. You had an MRI. Okay. Any more? Any others? Yes, Carol?
Carol Brooks.
Carol Brooks, yes. I heard that yesterday. Our former pastor here, Miss Carol Brooks, is Mr. Brooks' wife. Okay. All right, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to be in your house today. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings you give us. And before I ask you for these people and we lift these petitions up to you, Lord, I want to say thank you. Thank you for the blessings you give us each and every day. We couldn't count them, Lord, if we try, for all the things you do for us, and we thank you. But Lord, there are those of among us, Lord, that have requested that we lift their names up to you, Lord, for healing and for help. And Lord, we want to do that. We want to remember them to you, for you. And I don't have to remember you. You know all about it before we ever ask. But Lord, you did ask us to be specific. And so I'm going to pray and lift up Brother Jim to you today, Lord, as he goes into surgery. We pray for Brother Kenny also surgery in his life, and then Doug Burgess, Lord, was he broken bones. We thank you, Lord, for McCord. We ask your continued blessing upon his eyesight, that it may be restored to him completely. We pray for Brother Bobby Williams, and Lord, as he is recuperating and still recuperating, we pray for healing for his body as well. And Lord, there was an unspoken request, and Lord, I'm going to lift that child up to you. You know exactly who we're talking about, and we pray for healing for that child. For Harry Stogner, Lord, as he continues to have problems, Lord, and with the cancer, Lord, we pray, lift him up to you. We pray for healing for him. And then, Lord, as Brother Jeff goes for his MRI, we pray, Lord, that I know you're in control, and Lord, pray, Lord, that you will fit a blessing, Lord, that he needs in his life. And then we pray, Lord, for the family of Carol Brooks. We lift them up to you, Lord, all the family, Lord, as they have lost their mother and their grandmother and their friend. Now, as we go forward in the service today, Lord, we want to ask a special blessing upon everything that will be said and done. We thank you for Pastor Ed and what he means to us, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you continue to strengthen him and give him all the words, Lord, that we need to apply to our hearts and life each and every night and each and every day. And these blessings, Lord, I pray in your name we make his prayer. Amen. If I would ask you what you came here to do today, I hope you'll say I came to worship. And that's what the song says that we're about to sing. If you would please stand, please. The words on the board.
Glorious in heaven.
Thank you. You may be seated.
I want to thank for just a moment.
I would, please. I want to thank Brother Jeff and also to all of them up there that are working on this sound system. And Wes, I thank you too as well. I know you've been battling up there a little bit. I think we had some Wi-Fi problems and all, but you've seen it through, and we thank you for that. Children, you are dismissed. I'm sorry. We are ready to go. You're ready to go. All right.
I'll take it out of your pay. Just to remind you, for the last probably 6 weeks, we've been looking at the characteristics of the New Testament church. Been asking ourselves, how New Testament are we? If a New Testament Christian from the book of Acts should come into Barbie's Grove Church on an average Sunday morning, would he say, well, I'm right at home, or would he say, who are these guys and what in the world are they doing? How New Testament are we? And we looked at the fact that the New Testament church was based on the Word of God, that it was bathed in prayer, that it's centered on the cross, that it's powered by the Holy Spirit, that Jesus and his death on the cross was necessary. They worship Jesus. And last week, we looked at their belief and their practice of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, today, I want us to go in a similar thought. The New Testament Christians were men and women who shared their faith. They were witnesses. We want to use a term we use sometimes. They were soul winners. They talked about the good news of Jesus Christ. Everywhere they went, they talked about Jesus. Now, if you turn with me first to Matthew chapter 28, at the last of that chapter, the end of the book of Matthew, what we call the Great Commission. And this is a command of Jesus. Verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus didn't give these guys a suggestion. He didn't say if it suits your character, if it suits your idea, if it suits your thoughts, if you feel especially called or whatever, he said, you go and you lead people to saving faith in me. You teach them. You help them to grow. Now, I'm told that the Greek words there, go, is more of as you are going through your daily life. If you have the idea that, okay, my church has Tuesday night, 7 o'clock visitation, and I can come on Tuesday night and I can go visiting with the church and I can check it off and I'm done for the week with my witnessing, you got the wrong idea from what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, every day, everywhere you go, whatever you're doing, always be looking for opportunities to share your faith. Now, if you turn over to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus said, I'm not going to send you out to witness weak and powerless. Says the very presence of Almighty God through the Holy Spirit is going to come and live within you, and he is going to empower you to be a witness. Apart from the Holy Spirit's, we're just in the flesh. If we're witnessing in our own power and our own strength, we're in the flesh and we're weak. But if we're under the power and the anointing and the leading of the Holy Spirit, there's a power there to witness, so that the word of God that we share with a brother or sister makes a difference. Now, when you turn over to the book of, we're still in the book of Acts in chapter 2, day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they all were amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all of these who speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue where we were born? And then it goes on and lists a bunch of different parts of the world. Jesus promised in chapter 1, I'm going to send the power of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, it happened. That maybe 120 gathered in the upper room were touched, were filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in tongues. Now notice something here. They weren't dancing around the upper room, patting each other on the back, saying, boy, listen to you. Boy, listen to you. What language are you speaking? What language? No. As soon as the Holy Spirit touched their lives, they hit the streets witnessing. That experience was for a purpose. That experience was for them to be empowered to share the good news with Jesus Christ. It wasn't for them to pat themselves on the back and say, woo, look at me. No, it was a power to witness. That was the whole purpose, was to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm going to send the power of the Holy Spirit. When he came, they hit the streets. And when we are powered by the Holy Spirit, whether we, most of us be speaking in English, and some of us be speaking in Southern English, redneck English, but whatever, we be speaking what people need to hear about Jesus. Well, you know the story. Great crowd gathered, Peter preached. 3,000 were saved. Amazing. And when chapter 2, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Because of the ministry of the people, people continued to get saved and become a part of the family of God. They were filled, they witnessed. Thousands were saved, but they didn't stop there. They continued to share their faith, and people continued to get saved. Now turn with me over to chapter 8 of Acts. And we'll read verse 1 and then verse 4. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. in verse 4, therefore they that went scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Persecution came on the church. Saul was wreaking havoc with the church, putting people in prison. Evidently, you know, they killed Stephen. Maybe they killed some others. We don't know. But it was a terrible time. And so these new believers scattered all over the area. And what does it say they did when they went? They preached the word. Now, please notice something here. The apostles didn't go. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem according to the scripture. These folks were new believers. They weren't pastors. They weren't theologians. They hadn't been to Bible school. They hadn't had a witnessing course on 4 steps to salvation or experiencing God or how to share your faith. They just went, and everywhere they went, they talked about Jesus with whatever they knew, with whatever they knew. And you know, the Lord can use you no matter what. A number of years ago, Southern Baptists had a witnessing program they call Faith, F-A-I-T-H, and like the I was, it's impossible for anybody to get to heaven apart from Jesus. H was on heaven, and each one of the T was to trust. Well, this good old boy, he faithfully went to the class, learned all the scriptures in the F-A-I-T-H, and lo and behold, the first witness and opportunity, he spelled out cow. But the person still got saved. It's not how much we know. It's our willingness to share. It's our willingness to let Jesus, through us, touch the lives of people that don't know the Lord. Now, as I said a moment ago, if we just want to go on one night and be done with it, we're going to miss the point. There are times that just in our daily walk, we're going to have opportunities. And I'm going to mention some of those in a few minutes. There are times when God will especially direct us. Now, still in that eighth chapter, I think it's still in the eighth chapter, yeah, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go south toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and he come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, sitting in his chariot, and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself unto this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou that thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. And he was, verse 35, Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now you see, they were scattered randomly and witnessing where they went. But in this case, there was that special commission from the Holy Spirit. Philip, you go down to Gaza. Get on that road, same Gaza we read about in the news now. You get on that road that goes down to Egypt. And if you read the scriptures, Philip must have been confused. He was preaching in Samaria, and lots and lots and lots and lots of folks were getting saved. Many people were becoming Christians. He was preaching a revival, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, go down in the desert. And I thought, Philip probably thought, are you kidding me, Lord? But Philip went. He found this Ethiopian of great authority. He led him to Jesus. And that tradition says that man went back and started the Ethiopian Coptic Church, which is a Christian denomination that's still in existence today. All because Philip was obedient. Later, you find out where the Holy Spirit gives Peter a vision while Peter's waiting for lunch. And Peter goes and obeys the Lord. He goes to Cornelius' house, and God opens the door to the Gentiles to be saved. If you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, there'll be chance encounters that you have to witness. If you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, the Lord will also say to you, call so-and-so. Go by to visit so-and-so. Make an opportunity to share your faith with so-and-so. And as you do that, you will be amazed at how God will use you. Now, I'm going to give you a bunch of examples. I'm going to give you first two that I know about, and then I'm going to give you some from mine and Pam's life. And it's not to brag on Pam or me, because she was more into it than I am. She's more open. She was more open than I am. There's a guy named Rick Renner. He's a Bible scholar. He's had a church in Russia for years. He's been on Russian television that stretches across all 11, I think it's 11 time zones of the Soviet Union. And he says it all goes back to a bag of candy. He said his mama grew up in a family that didn't go to church, wanted nothing to do with the Lord. And a neighbor lady came to his mom, and his mom, I think she was about 8 at the time, and said, and this would be back during the Depression, if you go to church with me tonight for the Christmas program, they'll give you a bag of candy. Well, that bag of candy meant, you know, a treasure to an 8-year-old during the Depression. So Rick's mama went. But she got more than a bag of candy. She got Jesus. She came home a believer. That church during that Christmas program, something was said, something was done, led Rick's mama to Jesus as an 8 or 9-year-old. Her life was changed. She began to go to church and eventually married and had Rick. Because of her godly influence, millions of people in the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union, have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You reckon ever so often in heaven, when another one gets saved, somebody taps this lady on the shoulder and says, well, that's another one on your account. All because somebody cared about a little girl. Now, let me throw this in for free. Any of you know some kids that don't go to church that ought to come to our Bible school? Don't just say to mom, hey, we're having Bible school, hope you'll bring them. Offer to go by and get them. Offer to, and you know, offer several times. The day before Bible school starts, call up and say, I'll be by your house tomorrow at to pick up your kids, and I'll have them home around such and such a time. You might be surprised at what you do in reaching some child that will be a mighty force in the kingdom of God. Friday, I was having lunch with one of my high school classmates, and he was telling me about somebody that he knew. He said this guy was a real drunk. He was a mean drunk. If there's trouble, he was going to be in it. And as he talked about him, he said, I hadn't seen him for a while, and then I saw him again, and he'd cleaned up. He talked different. He acted different. He prayed over his meals. And I said, my friend said to him, what happened? He said, well, somebody invited me to church. And I said, don't feel good. I'm not coming. Said the next Sunday, they invited him again. He had another excuse. Next week, they invited him again. Another excuse. Finally, this man's wife told him, says, you might as well go. It's obvious they're not going to give up till you go. And he said, that whole Sunday, I went, and Jesus got a hold of me. I became a believer in Jesus. I went home and poured a whole bunch of liquor and beer down the sink drain. And I've never been the same since. Now, whoever this person was that was inviting him to go to church wasn't screaming at him, hey, brother, you're going to hell if you don't give your heart to Jesus. They were simply loving him and loving him and consistently loving him. Now, I know that sometimes we get really I'll say evangelistic. Hey, we have an Easter service. You need to come. And we don't think about it again until Christmas. No, if you know people that don't go to church, love on them every week. Love on them every week. Now, I want to talk of four different things that the as you go from mine and Pam's life. One, you know, when you go to the beach, they have these umbrellas that you can rent and the folding chairs. And, you know, if you want them, you sign up and they assign you a certain umbrella and certain chairs. Pam met a guy, and I think he was from Hungary in Europe. College student. He was here going to college. But that was his summer job, to rent out the chairs, put them out, take them up. And for the 2 or 3 days that we were at the beach, she shared Jesus with that guy. Now, whether anything came out of it, I don't know. That's not the point. She sowed the seed. I think about another situation. Some of you have probably eaten at the Golden Corral. We used to take our grandkids almost every Friday night. Now, I don't know about the one here in Concord, but the one there, they've taken it out. We used to have a chocolate fountain. You know, you could stick strawberries under the flowing chocolate or marshmallows. We'd take Hannah and Maggie and we'd say, now, we're going to Golden Corral, but you can't go to the chocolate fountain. Not this week. And they just laughed because they knew Papa was teasing them. But we met a lady. You know, they don't have waiters and waitresses, but there is people assigned to clean the table and bring you tea, your water, whatever. And we met a lady, I think she was from Romania. And Pam began to share with her, and I began to add in. And after that, every Friday night when we went, we'd say, I think her name was like Ula or something, which section is she serving? We tried to always sit in her section and share a little bit more and a little bit more. Again, I don't know what happened, but I know that we took that as an opportunity to share our faith. About 22 years or so ago, Southern Baptist Convention was in Phoenix. And at that time, I had an RV, drove it to Phoenix, parked it in a trailer park there in the city, and we could walk about far from here to the old parsonage and catch a city bus and ride it down the convention center and ride back. Well, one of the days we were there, they were giving out Bibles. It was not a new translation, but it was a little different the Southern Baptist Convention had come out with a little different something. And so they were giving out Bibles. So we took one of each, and we got on the bus going back to the trailer park. Young man, looks like he's about 30, 35, gets on. We go to talking. He just got out of prison. He'd gotten saved during prison. And he was telling us about his salvation experience, but he said, you know, the thing that really bothered him was that he had won another young man in the prison to the Lord, and says, I gave him my Bible when I left so that he'd have a Bible. And I don't have a Bible. Well, faster than Speedy Bullet, Pampton pulled her Bible out that they'd given her and handed it to this man. He had a Bible before he got off that bus. One more. For our 50th wedding anniversary, on Pam's bucket list was Montana. We had some very, very good friends that paid for a wedding trip for us, an anniversary trip for us to go to Montana. And the place we stayed was sort of like a combination bed and breakfast and a small motel. And there was a lady that she didn't own the place, but she was sort of over everything. She's the one that put out the food for breakfast and that kind of thing. And we began to talk to her. She was in her maybe mid-40s. Troubled marriage that had dissolved. Trouble with one of her kids. And she had some of the most screwed up ideas about being saved in Christianity you could ever imagine. And from the time we began to interact with her till the day we left, when we're eating breakfast, we're sharing Jesus. When we come in at night, or if we came in during the day, we're sharing the truths of the gospel. After we came back, Pam mailed her some books, and they corresponded on Facebook for a while. Now see, all of these are just normal, everyday things that we can do to share Jesus. And your opportunities are different from mine. Your encounters are different from mine and Pam's. But the Lord Jesus wants to use you just like he used us. And we're not responsible for the results. We just sow the seed. As Jesus told the parable about the hard-packed seed and the seed with no root and the hard-packed soil, the soil with no root, the soil choked out with briars and thorns, and the good soil, he was simply saying, you sow the seed. Others are responsible for the harvest. Now, in all four of these cases, we sowed the seed. How much fruit and harvest, I don't know. May find out in heaven, may not find out in heaven, doesn't matter. They can't stay that they never heard. Now turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. How far are we spreading the word of God? First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of God, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we have no need to speak of anything. As Paul writes to these Thessalonian Christians, he says, listen, I came and I preached, you believed, and now because of your influence, the gospel is spread all around. He says, I don't have to go over to the next house, they've heard it. I don't have to go over to the next village, they've heard it. Your influence has spread the gospel. How far has our influence spread the gospel? Do your next door neighbors know you're a Christian? You know what? Just one thing that distresses me. Albemarle's, what, 14 miles? The number of people that I run into from former churches, former classmates, and they say, what you doing now? And I say, oh, I'm the pastor at Barber's Grove. And they say, where? Where? Oh, Barber's Grove over at Oakburn. I never heard of it. That's sad. That's really sad. We need to be in such a way of sharing the gospel that people hear and know. Hear and know. We're going to look at one more scripture. 2 Timothy 2. Paul's admonition to Timothy. Second Timothy 2:2, the thing that thou heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who all shall also be able to teach others. Says the gospel's got to spread as we teach and as they teach. And they teach and they teach until it spreads this way and down through the generations. New Testament Christians, real New Testament Christians, are folks who share the Word of God in their daily lives. And that's my challenge. That's your challenge. You know, when somebody checks you out at Walmart or Food Lion and they say, have a good day, you can't witness to them right then, usually because there's 10 people in line behind you and they'll have a hissy fit if you stop to witness. But you can say to that cashier, God bless you. I pray that Jesus will bless you today. And just keep going. We can always share Jesus. This is one of those sermons that the response at the altar is not the important thing. The response that happens this afternoon and tomorrow and every day for the rest of your life and the rest of my life is what's important. We'll bow our heads and pray for just a moment, and then we'll have our church conference. Father God, we bow before you. My prayer is that Ed might be a New Testament pastor who shares his faith, not just on Sunday morning in the pulpit, but 24/7. And Father, I pray for the members of Barber's Grove Baptist Church that we might not just be New Testament Christians on Sunday morning, but New Testament Christians 24/7. And Lord, I thank you that we don't have to do it in our own strength, our own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Father, for empowering us to witness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.